You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, what's your deal? Hey, what's your deal? Hey, don't keep it all in, what's your deal? We all do seek what we try to hide. Hey, hey, what's your deal?
Hello, and welcome to What's Your Deal? I'm your host, Ariana Lenarski. This is the podcast where we read tarot for special guests to find out where they've been and where they're going. And with me today, I have one of my oldest and dearest friends. Not old in age, but old in friendship length. my friend, Liberty Larson.
Hi.
Hi, Libby. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm very happy to be here.
Liberty is a musician, a magician, and has an energy healing practice.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when I have people come on the show, I ask people what their relationship is to tarot. And I know very well, we've known each other since we were like 12 years old, really long time. I want you to share a little bit about what your relationship has been to tarot, as well as magic in general, because you actually have like a very complex relationship.
True.
To all these things. That
yeah.
I'm kind of like your lawyer. I already know everything. Defense lawyer.
Will
not
you actually be my lawyer? I need one. As you well know. Tarot for me started, my mom used tarot when I was a kid, so I was familiar with the cards and stuff.
I actually did not know that.
Hell
so this
yeah.
is like actually cool that I didn't know this at all.
Yes, she did. And she, I remember when I was a teenager, you know, she started to every once in a while, I would always see her deck like wrapped in silk and it felt very off limits. And then at one point she did a reading for me. It wasn't big and dramatic, but I was intrigued. And I can't remember how my own relationship with it started. I feel like I got my own deck at some point and just started playing around with it. I don't think I ever formally learned the meanings of the cards or anything. I just learned as I went, kind of.
Would you say that, because I know that you and I had the same tarot reader without knowing it, right?
Recently?
Didn't we go to the same, we both went to Aaron without realizing,
yes.
right? Which is really weird.
Yes.
Because again, we both grew up in Los Angeles. There's thousands of readers to go to.
But only one really awesome one.
Only one truly, like, honestly, the best psychic I've ever known.
The gem, yeah.
But we randomly found out that we were going to the same reader.
Didn't we find out by seeing each other there
yeah.
on accident?
Like, I think on the first day of the year or something. It was like the very...
Yeah.
It was very strange.
yeah, I think we ran into each other. It's like, oh, excuse me. I didn't know you went here too. And then didn't we get a reading together?
Eventually, yes.
Yes.
I remember. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We got a reading together eventually. And began to like, well, we also like started to try to see if we could practice magic together,
yes.
right? With our reader.
Yes.
Which is like a whole thing.
Yes.
It's hard to just say that and not explain it.
We started a group, the three of us, to just try to work with energy and do spells and see what we could do with reality, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It was just very playful and, sort of
collaborate?
Collaborating and corroborating our experiences, like, oh, that's happening to you, this is happening to me, whoa, that's happening in your life, sort of catching up, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and seeing how we could shift reality streams.
And just like play with the tools we had.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try to like pull back a little bit to give more context.
Okay. Backing up.
So we met as kids, right?
Yeah.
We were like 12.
Middle school. Yeah.
And began to just play together, right?
Yes. Full on.
Just, and I think we both like had a feeling of, there was a little bit of rebellion going on, I guess.
For me, a lot. Yeah.
For you, a lot. Do you want to talk more about that?
I used to ditch school every single day. Well, that wasn't middle school. I was very rebellious
in high school.
Yeah.
That was actually when we
that was when we like 15. Yeah, we became aware of each other in middle school. Oh, finishing each other's sentences. And then, yeah, high school, I was very rebellious. I wouldn't say like bad girl, bad kid rebellious, but definitely didn't want anything to do with authority, a school or otherwise. And yeah, the way that we would play was very much about, I wouldn't even say breaking the rules, but definitely trying unusual ways of engaging with life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like having fun, really, yeah. Is what it was.
Mischievous.
Yeah.
Playful. What would happen if we do this? We should talk to this person. We should say this. We should put this note in this place and see, you know.
What happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And creating a lot of surreal memories, but definitely not aware of anything except the present moment in doing them.
Yeah. That was the joy, I think, was that I think both of our families were a little cuckoo clock bananas. No offense to either of them, but that's how it was coming across at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember thinking, like, that's fun. Like, I remember, like, when we would hang out thinking, like, this is fun. Like, I want to do this.
Yes.
This is fun.
Yes.
I don't care about anything else. Like, I want to focus on this.
Totally.
And it was the combination of the two energies. It was like, oh, something, there's like Libby and there's me and then there's something else too. It's like whatever comes into our field is also a part of
so true.
This.
It felt very like combustible. And I remember when I met you, the world just suddenly felt like it got bigger. Like the way that things were played with suddenly, there was a bigger playground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suddenly it was like, oh my God.
Whoa.
And I think I got my license, right?
Yes, then we got in about 5 car accidents together.
Literally. I have gotten into more car
That's
accidents
part of our magic.
With you. Well, God forbid. I think we're done. I think we've moved on from that.
We learned what we needed
but
to.
But we've been in some really intense car accidents.
Yeah,
like,
the worst of my life. That's true. I know. It's really funny.
But the worst one was like not our fault.
No, it was totally
it
your
was
dad.
Totally. So I want to talk about this car accident.
Please.
I also want to, okay, so I want to speak slightly of the small elephant in the room is that when I went over to your house the first time, I saw that you had a really interesting house.
Yes.
And I remember not even thinking, like, not putting it into context of what it could mean. I just was like, oh, really cool, big house. Great, more fun. Like, to me, I was just like, oh, good, we're having more fun. Like, great. But this is a special house. This is actually a historical landmark in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The house she's referring to that I've lived in on and off throughout my life and I'm currently living in is called Brookledge. And it's our family home. And it's sort of the precursor to the Magic Castle. My grandparents are the founders of the Magic Castle in Hollywood. But my great-grandfather traded houses to, that's how he acquired this house, with the man who built it named Floyd Thayer. Floyd Thayer was a magic manufacturer. He didn't build the main house, but he built the theater in the back, and it's a 1930s theater that was his magic studio, his shop, where magicians would hang out and buy their magic props. And this was the home where all the magicians would meet in the 30s and 40s. My great-grandfather was a really good friend of his and a customer. And eventually, for reasons that we don't understand, they traded houses because that's what you do. And my family's lived there ever since.
And it's just it's a house that when you enter it has a lot of wonder to it. You enter and you're like, what's going on? Like it almost looks like you walk into a different climate.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a forest element to it.
Yeah, it's sort of jungly, foresty. There's a stream and a bridge.
Yes. And I think a big part of what it was like to grow up was, I think we, for me as well, with my family, I lived close to you,
mm-hmm.
this is like in mid-city basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
Hancock Park.
So my dad lived up the street. So my parents were divorced. My mom lived in Burbank. That's where he went to high school. Mm-hmm. And your mom lived in Burbank,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what?
I thought I was swallowing into the microphone.
Oh, no. So we had these two houses. And so, and my father and my stepmother's house was like a millionaire house. It was like a very expensive house. My mm-hmm. stepmother was in real estate, and her parents, it's so weird that I'm like fuzzy on these details because I just don't know. But for some reason, like, her family had real estate money.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was working in the biz, I guess, as like a agent for executives.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling pretty cut off from it all. Like, I remember being like, okay, whatever. Like, it was very, like, it didn't feel like a home to me. I was, mm-hmm. like, going back and forth to my mom's and my dad's house. Mom's house, very homey in Burbank. Dad's house, very sterile. Like, big yeah. house, like, a pool, blah, blah, blah. But I had this feeling of, like, this isn't really my home. Like, I'm a charity case, and I'm just happen to be, like, with these two adult. And so I think, and we both had this sense of trying to get away from these, what I think a lot of people would think of would be like these amazing home, you know, people have gotten, like, I remember people getting married in the backyard at my parents' house, mm-hmm. which I think happened yeah. to you as well. But we had this sense of like,
yeah,
let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's go, like, meet somewhere else out in the world.
Yeah. And it took a long time to, like, there was some and I think it's also because, like, at least in my family, there's sort of this odd legacy with my uncle, who was the vice president of Technicolor at one point, and also I think was, like, helped create the ballpoint pen or something like he was just sort of this, like, this guy that had his hands in different projects. I think he may have also, like, been Nixon's campaign manager.
Oh my God.
Or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah. And but he was also a member of the John Birch Society, which is, like, practically like the KKK. So there's this, and I remember my dad saying to me once, like, when we were in a fight or something, that he said, like, your grandfather voted for Nixon 3 times and he'd do it again. You know, it's like, don't ever forget who you are. You're a conservative. You know, like, something really intense like that.
And really dug his own grave with that argument.
And so it took me a long time to be like, my family's weird. Like, there's something that's a weird, I can't detach myself from this legacy as much as I may not, connect with it,
mm-hmm.
in many ways. The aspects of it must still be filtering down through my life. That has to be happening. And so I feel like I'm actually still in the middle of that process, mm-hmm. honestly. Because I know so little. My way to protect myself was to not learn.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Mysterious,
yeah.
behind closed doors kind
right.
of feeling. Uh-huh.
But I feel like for you, you're much more of an investigative type.
Hmm.
Do you think that's true?
With my family? I'm not sure. That's an interesting way to put it. I mean, everything was pretty out in the open with my family. I feel like I knew what the legacy was all about, and I knew what the drama was. And for me, it was just as far as getting out of these homes or getting away from these family structures and having fun together, it was definitely just like wanting feelings of freedom, I think, for
yes.
both of us.
Yes,
I think
yes,
for
yes.
different reasons, we both felt like there was just a lot of either expectation or entanglement energy or repression or oppression or whatever it was. And
yeah.
so becoming friends felt like this suddenly big open door of like, it can actually be not like that.
Yeah. There was, but it's funny too, because like, Yeah, definitely for me, it was also like, because my family was like strictly Orthodox Jewish, like very religious, like don't use electricity on Saturdays, religious. So there was, it's funny how, what will happen if you're a kid and you're just like put in a room where there's rules, like strong, strong rules, but you don't want to do those rules. It's like very exciting.
Yeah. It's exhilarating to eventually come to the realization that they don't have to exist for you.
Yeah. Or you get to create them in the way that you want to.
Yeah.
Which I feel like now I've come back to a little bit of trying to reckon with what it's like to use structures, like faith-based structures, to live my life.
Yeah,
basically.
Totally.
Since my dad is like, my family is so obsessed. Not obsessed. They're religious.
Same diff.
They're like so obsessed with
They're
Judaism.
So obsessed with God. It's like disgusting.
So, but like to come back to, how do I think the world? What? How shall I live in the world? Like, what's the best way I want to live in the world?
Well, yeah.
I like the moon. Like, I'm going to follow the schedule of the moon.
Right. Creating the shapes and patterns and meaning that actually resonates with you, but still embracing some sort of a structure or a path. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Do you feel like you are in the process of defining what that looks like for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really in the process of trying to combine embracing structures that already exist and finding what's meaningful, but really creating my own from scratch feels really important to me right now. Like finding, I think I'm still on a subconscious level. When I started getting interested in metaphysical stuff, I think I still really associated it with rules on a very deep subconscious level. Mm-hmm. That there's a right way to do it. You know, it's almost like a game. Like when things would start happening that were magical, it was hard not to associate that with being like, oh, that's because you did the right thing or you passed the test or like, if you keep doing it this way, more magical things will happen, blah, blah, blah. I'm definitely in a place right now of trying to anchor it inside me that any choice I make, not make it binary like that, that any choice that I make in relationship to playing with reality in that way will end up being the right one and is, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very like trying to feel like there are no mistakes.
Yeah, and I've talked to so many people about this, like if you're not raised, well, actually, if you are raised with a concept, it's a whole different set of issues. But I wasn't raised with people talking about God, really. Most people weren't in my life. So when I came to it on my own, you're kind of trying to figure out what that is. And I think a lot of people project like stuff from your childhood and how adults were when you were a kid onto how God must be without even realizing it. Like whether people have abandonment issues or I think in my case there was like I was very told what to do in every circumstance in a lot of areas of my life. Like things were kind of micromanaged. So on some level that can get projected onto like, oh, there's a right way to do it. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of people there's a funny stretch of path to go through for a lot of people where you get to peel things off of God and be like, oh, actually, no, that's not infinite and therefore doesn't need, or that's not unconditionally loving, or that's a projection.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I think even the word God is one that people automatically are like, it's like not repellent, but it's like so, what's the word that I'm looking for?
So loaded.
Loaded.
Yeah.
It's as loaded as the word love.
Coincidence?
But like love is, it's weird too because like God is super complicated. seen as used to oppress most of the time. Mm-hmm. Things are done in the name of God, and then horrible things happen.
Yes.
It's sort of this excuse to, it seems like an excuse a lot of the time.
Totally.
That seems to be how God is perceived if you aren't religious or just don't believe in God.
I loved what you said recently, too, in a conversation we were having about the word God, how there's no word for it that really does it for you. Like, of all the choices of things to talk, ways to talk about that relationship, you said something about God. Like, I was like, what do you feel when you hear the word God? And you were like, it feels masculine and it feels separate from me.
Yes.
Like an other, like something you'll have a relationship with that's...
Yeah, it's like, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
Like, oh, who invited him?
Oh, God. Jesus. I know.
That's like exactly what it feels like, though.
Yeah, it is. I always get this image. I don't know where it came from the time I was really little. I saw this painting of... It was like a really detailed painting of a beautiful skull made out of clouds in the sky that was kind of being wisped away. And forever that is what I see when I hear the word God. And it's really weird. It's not like morbid. It was like a beautiful blue sky with this wispy, but it's like this skeleton man made of cloud.
That's funny. Yeah. I think I picture God. I picture the word God mm-hmm. with a capital G. And I picture like God. And like it's in the clouds. And like rays are coming down. It's like God, God. And I picture like him speaking like the Torah. I don't know if it was the Torah. I don't know what the name of the books are, but you'd get these books in synagogue mm-hmm. and God would speak in a very like
particular and persnickety. He gets so easily offended. Way.
It's so easily offended.
I know.
And so I think about that.
He's jealous. Jealous God, a vengeful God.
But it's weird because I think I also talked when we were talking about this conversation earlier. I was also talking about how like I don't really like any name for it.
Yeah.
Which of course is very Judaic and Hebrew, which I hate because it's so full circle. Because I was super rebellious when I was little when it came to Judaism. I was like, I am not part of any of this.
Yeah. And
I put up such a barrier of like
you could sense how like, it was trying to.
Oppress me and also just like accept this. And I was like, no, I don't like
right.
stop.
Like hypnosis.
Leave me alone. Hypnosis, very, what's the word?
Like relentless.
Relentless and penetrating. Mm-hmm. Invasive. It felt like the way it was, even though parts of it were on the surface very nice, but it was like, no. And I just had like a huge wall up. Mm. But then, of course, it's funny that there's so many things now that have come back where it's like, yeah, I don't like to call God anything. And it's like, okay, so like Yahweh, like that's literally what that is. So I don't know. Can't get away from this stuff, unfortunately. And like you feel, for the most part, you've reconciled sort of your teenage self with your family at this point? Or is it? Still kind of feel like in the process.
What do you mean? My teenage self?
Like more rebellious and like...
Oh, I've chilled out. I have a good relationship with my family right now. Yeah, both present and the past. I feel pretty solid with that.
How it's gone?
Yeah, definitely. I've looked into it a lot. And mm-hmm. yeah, I feel good about it. It's... Yeah, it's interesting. When I was young, the only person in my life who was interested in God was my mom's sister, who was bipolar schizophrenic. And she would super talk about God and Jesus and angels and everything all the time, and the devil. And so it was really interesting to like be exposed to spirituality through mental illness. And that was like where all of that vocabulary was coming from. And my formative years was this one person who, according to everyone else at that time, was her point of view was completely, I don't want to say invalid, but it was definitely the narrative is, oh, she's crazy. She's crazy. So you put it over there. It's like anything she's perceiving is in this other world marked as crazy. And that's not really real, or it's just in her head. And then the older I got, the more I felt like, whoa, like as I started opening up my own magic practice, real magic practice and stuff, I started really feeling like she was just perceiving other things that are perhaps part of collective reality that she just didn't have a mirror for, that mm-hmm. other people weren't experiencing or didn't know how to process. So that was really interesting. Yeah.
I can't remember who said this, but something like when you're doing, I don't know if it's chakra work or something like that, but when people can see visions and things like that, mm-hmm. that it's overactive from the heart up.
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
And then you're not very,
yes.
for whatever reason, you can't stay grounded.
Yes.
In the real world.
Totally. Basically. We've talked
quote,
about
real
that.
World of just like, you know, physically feeling like the earth can support you.
Yes.
That you can be supported in the real world.
Absolutely. That you can stand on your feet and that you can be in your body.
Right.
And that you're safe and all of these sort of, yeah, exactly. It yeah. seems like it's just an extreme of, it's almost like, yeah, if you are shut off to those lower chakras, your consciousness can just beam even higher up, but it's not grounded, but it starts yeah. opening all these other layers of things that most people, if they're really focused on the earth, might never experience or hear or see. It's crazy. I mean... You know what I mean?
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to read the Tarot of Liberty Larson.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to What's Your Deal? We are going to read the tarot soon for my friend Libby. So I started reading tarot in 2015, I think, 2014. But I think we always used to... play around with cards. I mean, you've been around, quote, magic tricks your whole life.
Yes.
So that's been a very, like, intense part of your reality. And from the time I met you, it was kind of by our close friendship, a part of my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just because aside from, like, spending time with your family or, like, going to fun events and things like that, we... used to sort of play games with each other that we may not have known were sort of like trying to connect to quote magic, I suppose.
Yeah.
I remember really clearly a game we tried to play where we both tried to talk to each other at the same time to see if we could both have a conversation and listen at the same time. Which now that I look back on it is so clearly trying to create some kind of like, can we give and receive at the same time and create this like, yeah. We were trying to create like some kind of verbal atom bomb.
Yeah, and like open our brains to being able to function both sides at once.
Yeah. And so we both had separate sort of like... I wouldn't say mental breakdowns, but like sort of like points in our lives where we both felt very depressed
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of suicidal, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And just for many different reasons, like external reasons, internal reasons. And then sort of were faced with kind of... believing that there could be something more,
yeah.
I guess would be the word, than just, and it's kind of weird because again, it doesn't really, it's hard to separate it from what we talk about, like just what we're talking about, like not wanting to see God in the room, like being like, this is not who I'm talking about. I think it, honestly, to me, if I had to really put something on it, it would be believing in love, which is so depressing. Like before that, but that is kind of what it felt like, at least in my end, where I was like so depressed, so wanted to kill myself. And it was just like, because no one cares about me and I don't even care about me.
Mm.
And the world would be a better place if I was gone.
Mm.
Like this really deep sureness, like I surely feel like this.
Yeah, the and ultimate perception of like complete separation.
Complete separation.
Yeah.
And it just was like,
I think that's what takes everyone out who goes out like that.
Yes, this
same.
You come to the what's the word?
It feels like a fact.
It feels like a fact. Like you, there is just, exactly. It's just complete separation.
Yeah.
And how weird it is to be like, no, suicide is like emotional terrorism on the people in your life. Yeah. Someone once explained it like that.
Yeah.
Even though I think a lot of times, like, there can be some, a lot of times with suicide, it's like a profound mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, it's something where it's like, you know, you hear about people getting very angry with people who commit suicide or but I'm more talking in terms of like, it's funny to have to try to separate it, but like not the ones where it's like you should be on medication, like you are really having you can't handle it, but it's like you need to
function.
Be treated.
Yeah.
Like you need treatment just like for any other kind of physical ailment. I'm annoyed at myself that I was like, you can't handle the truth. That's not what I mean. But then for someone who where it's more in line with what we're talking about of telling yourself the story that you're just completely separate from everybody else. That's like a totally different thing.
It almost seems like it's not something that everyone has to go through, but it definitely seems like a distinct chapter of spiritual awakening to almost take the illusion of separation as far as it can go. In fact, I think we've done that as a collective society too. It seems like a weird like chapter in the release of that to sort of to experience for yourself how painful it is to be that deep, because it's sort of everyone's worst fear, I think.
Yes.
That's how it is, and there's nothing. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what's so odd is how utterly the other way I feel, where it almost feels like, no, what? Like, what? No, you're not. Like, you just aren't. It's just like a fact that you are connected to others.
Yeah.
And weirdly, I came through that through tarot, which is really odd.
Yeah. You can almost get to an interesting form of like logic, I've found recently, like, you know, even on a quantum level, or knowing that on a scientific level, knowing that everything actually is connected. And that's just something that people can accept as fact. When you have certain things like that, you can walk yourself out of a lot of these stories with a certain, well, if A and B, then C. I'm not the most mathematical person usually, but I've been using that kind of stuff on myself lately when I catch myself getting into a very subjective illusion that's based in fear. You can remind yourself of those sort of universal, it doesn't even have to be an out there spiritual principle. It's kind of very simple and like a logic.
Yeah. I think something like that, as an example for myself, was I have been telling myself for a long time that I can't experience intimacy until I'm with somebody else, basically. Which I feel like obviously is like an important thing I should do in my life, is like experience intimacy.
The hotline is open. We are taking calls.
Like, you know, it's so like, duh. Like, yes, you should probably try to love someone in your life that might be chill. But I had always been telling myself, well, I can't do that until there's someone else involved. There's no way for me to heal until there's someone else involved.
Right. So you're like frozen in that.
Yeah, like, well, I'll just wait. And then whenever they get here,
then it starts.
We'll start here. Healing.
Yeah.
And I only recently was like, oh no, that's not so at all, because I'm actually in relationship with this voice in my head who's telling me all these things that are so intense.
Yes.
Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. And I don't mean like I'm hearing voices, but just like your inner narrative that says, some examples of what this voice says to me sometimes is like, so one thing that I'll say to myself is like, I love you so much. You're such a good person. And I'll be like, okay, like, let's walk that back a little. Like, what does that really mean to you? Mm. What do you mean when you're saying I'm a good person? Like, why are you saying that? And if I am more slow and patient, then it'll say more specifically, I want you to avoid suffering. So I'm going to tell you that your actions are always going to be correct, which is what, quote, a good person would be. So if you, I want to make sure that your intentions are always good or something like that. So it's like trying to be patient with this voice. And then like another voice might say like, don't ever be afraid.
It's like, or else.
Yeah, it's like, what? Like, and then having that other patient side myself was like, can you tell me more what that means to you? Like, and so slowly having that sort of
getting into deeper dialogue and intimacy. Yeah.
Yes, with whatever's going on inside of
me. Oh my God, yeah, that's everything.
Yeah. And then it suddenly becomes.
You've helped me a lot with that.
Perspective. That makes me happy.
Yeah, that perspective of talking to it and getting further in dialogue and asking questions when something says something.
Yeah.
I think it's so important.
Yeah, and then you kind of are able to see, oh, look, I can have this relationship with a kind of cuckoo thing within me that I know is being kind of childish almost. Mm-hmm. And then most likely that'll play out, I assume, in a relationship or something like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think so. I think whatever, especially when you notice thoughts like that that are repeats, like thing, like I broke my toe recently and I've been sitting still a lot more than usual. And it really makes you witness what's going on inside your mind. And when you notice certain things that are repeat offenders that are just like, or core themes that just keep coming back with the same message, it's so amazing the difference between just being in it, like that thought is driving the car, versus like even being able to look at it at all from any kind of outside perspective and watch it. And that's, oh man, it can be, if you don't take it personally, it can be so interesting to just keep asking like, but why?
That's truly the key, I'm now realizing, like just not taking things personally, which seems so simple.
We can't even fathom all the factors that shaped those thoughts. We can't fathom all of the things that shaped what turned into that belief or that fear.
And then it even translates to the actions of others. Like you can't not even understand why
and
someone
would
do something.
And your ancestors and everything. Like it's the whole world. At a certain point, it's like you can't. It's not yours. We all share everything. Like it feels so personal for each person. I've felt for a long time like we all have our personal private hell that we have the illusion of like, oh, this is my private hell. It's so shameful and awful. But everybody's has the same view. If you were to look in everyone's little cell, they're all looking at the same types of thoughts and the same types of feelings, thinking that it's, you know, your cross to bear, like the worst thing I could never tell anyone. But you, I think people would be shocked at how similar they are and how cliche we all are. But it's so real. And just because it's not personal to you or just because it's not so unique doesn't mean that we're not all feeling the heaviness of that shared illusion or that shared fear. Like, but it is helpful in getting out of the isolation part of it.
Yeah. So what would you like to...
We're looking at these little cards over here.
What would you like to have a reading about today?
Today is the new moon. It's in my second house.
Okay.
So I am really feeling something to do with... I'm really trying to get in touch with my true worth.
Ooh.
My real worth and my real value.
Okay.
So anything about that.
Okay, go ahead and shuffle these cards a little bit. And think about...
Yeah, I'm wanting to move into a time in my life when I'm receiving money and resources and energy, all forms of receiving, having to do with things that I really value about myself or that things that... Yeah. Not associating money with having to pretend to be other things.
Like you having to pretend to be other
things. Yes, totally.
Like what?
I think in the past, especially in entertainment, I've associated things having commercial value with being able to wear masks when you need to, or being able to turn it on or turn it off, turn other things off, turn other things on. And I'm trying to notice, even if it's not about money, in my interactions with people lately, I'm trying to notice the value that comes when I'm really authentic and really real with what's really going on in the moment instead of adjusting or, you know, contortion.
Okay, so we're going to read for recent past, present, and near future. Okay.
Fascinating.
So we have recent past, reverse high priestess. Present is reverse two of pentacles, and in the near future is king of wands. So it looks like, to me, it seems to be pretty clear that, because pentacles represents the material world and your job and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I think like embodying the high priestess and the king of wands to me seem pretty, very much so. Like yeah. They're very opposite from each other.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting. I think leaning into the king of wands, who is the architect of fire, mm-hmm. he's the one who makes things happen, honestly. He's the ultimate director. He's the ultimate guy who leads the pack and gets things done.
Yeah.
And he's very electric while doing so, and very comfortable with authority. And he's also very daring and bold, and he also hates sitting on his throne. He's very impatient and wants to leap off it.
You can tell by his face.
Yeah, he's like, I hate this. But no one else can do it but me.
It's time for photographs.
It's... So I think leaning into him and acting like him will also help with high priestess stuff, because you've got this infinity loop here in the middle with the two of pentacles. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's sort of like them all spinning like this all
Whoa,
the time. Do you know what I mean?
I'm spinning. That.
So what I'm doing right now is it looks like the two of pentacles is the fulcrum.
Yes.
The center space.
It is.
Between...
Whoa.
And I wish that we had a visual of this, but it's just basically like...
She's turning them all in a wheel.
I'm turning
like
them
they're
in a
all...
wheel. So you're supposed to kind of...
The
you're
infinity
supposed to.
Loop is creating this...
Yeah.
Wow. Vortex.
I would lean into being... And I think it might, at this point, be hard to feel how to be flexible like that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it feels a little bit like black and white needs to be one or the other or something like that. Like first this, and then this, and then this. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think if... Yes. So if you can kind of go... I know you've said before, like, sometimes you worry too much about going with the flow for fear of commitment issues and stuff like that.
Right.
But that's not exactly what I mean. It's more like Pentacles is grounded always, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to be said for the fact that this Pentacles card is the card of suppleness and flexibility.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the most flexible Earth card.
Yes. So I don't think you have to worry so much about where to put your energy necessarily. Like the roots are there. You don't have to worry about whether you have roots or not. Like mm-hmm. you just do. And I think that's a lot of what Pentacles is about, is like worrying about foundations and your feet, basically.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then you just kind of become this reed that can handle where whatever way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
And also, this card represents fun. It's like having fun and whistling while you work and like enjoying yourself, enjoying the play of the material world and life, which most people have a lot of fear around money. It's not fun at all.
Yeah.
But to me, it's showing that playing with these two guys, the high priestess who represents the ultimate feminine principle of non-action, mystery,
stillness,
be still and know that I'm God,
silent.
The subconscious, dreams, and then the King of Wands, which is very much like the actual human personality, not just an archetype, but the actual personality of acting and outwardness.
Totally.
So I think finding the flow between these two is going to be
how they amplify each other.
Yeah.
Like, you're right, that infinity sign in the middle is like just feeding them back and forth between each other. Like,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, as always, the thing that links the two is just trusting and having faith that you'll just know which to incorporate at each point,
at each moment.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow.
Either action or non-action.
This feels very related to something I wrote randomly right as I was falling asleep last night in my notebook, which was a voice in my head. It's just like this three. It was like, this is the game. I wrote down, this is the game. Be still and empty. And then something about like holy fire comes. And it was just like, this is the game. Back and forth. When you don't know what to do, be still and empty. and wait for the fire.
Yeah.
Wow.
And appreciative too.
Yeah.
I think people view the stillness as like a punishment or asceticism.
Right.
Or
like
barrenness.
Denying yourself.
Denial.
Yeah.
But no, that it's just, it's more like
a fullness.
Yes. And just like enjoying. The enjoyment is the key, is key. Like just enjoying waiting, enjoying acting, enjoying yourself.
Cool. I love it.
Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much.
I don't know. I just wish I could talk for a long time about many stories that we have, but that's all.
Come find us in the street.
If people want to contact you for a session, can they do that? Or is it not quite ready to do that?
My website is www.libertylarsen.com, LibertyLarsen. And you can read under spiritual services what I offer in terms of working with a real magic practice, energy healing, all of that.
Thank you so much. Please go check out Liberty Sect. I am Arianna Larsky, and this has been What's Your Deal? Thank you so much for listening.